Finally, today we want to say Happy New Year, everyone. And speaking of that, did you make any New Year's resolutions? Many of us did, even though we know these can be difficult promises to keep. Whether it's saving money, eating healthier, or hitting the gym more regularly, by January 8th, already 25% of our resolutions will be broken. That's according to my next guest, David DeSteno. He is a professor of psychology at Northeastern University. And he says there is a way to make keeping your resolutions easier. His tip? Well, we're going to hear about that. David DeSteno joins us now. He's here in the studio to talk more about this. And welcome. Good to meet you.
Good to see you, Anthony.
So the tip here is this connection between things like compassion and gratitude and keeping New Year's resolutions. This is really intriguing. Explain a little bit about this.
Sure. Well, if you look at most of the bestsellers on your local bookshelves, what you'll see is that they talk about trying to keep our resolutions. And in fact, keeping New Year's resolutions is kind of the problem of life in general, that is trying to reach all of our long-term goals and stick to them. The way we have to do it is to kind of have grit and force ourselves through
logic
and willpower to keep to our goals. And as you just cited in those statistics, it tends not to work that well. On any given day, you know, one out of every five times we try to resist a temptation, we fail. And I think it's because we're using the wrong tools. If you think about what really motivates people, it's not trying to talk ourselves into something. It's what we feel, not what we know. And we're kind of ignoring our emotions. Sure, there are emotions that got kind of a bad rap that make us want to take the easy way out or give into a desire. But there are other emotions that make us willing to sacrifice for other people for the long term. Things like gratitude and compassion. And what we're finding is they also not only make you willing to sacrifice to help other people, but also to help your own future self.
See, this is really intriguing. So this idea, so make the connection. I mean, let's talk about a sort of typical kind of resolution. You know,
sure.
I want to, and I always think about it in terms of willpower and grit. You know, I want to get up every other day and go to the gym. I want to go at least three times a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
A good week will be four, and you know, the week that I'm aiming for is three times a week. How is sort of having gratitude, being compassionate, those sort of social emotions mm-hmm. going to help me do that?
So let me give you an example. What we find in general is that the more often people feel these states, the more their mind is willing to value the future and to accept short-term sacrifice. So I'll give you an example. We did it with finances instead of going to the gym, but the same logic applies. So we'll bring people in and we'll ask them questions. You know, would you rather have X dollars now or Y dollars in Z days, where Y is always more than X and Z varies over weeks to months. And what you'll see is most people are pretty impatient. We find on average that, you know, people, if I give you $17 now, you'll forego getting $100 in a year, even though that makes little sense unless you need that $17 to survive, given what the banks are paying.
Hmm.
If you make people feel grateful, they don't discount the value of the future as much. What they do is they value it more. And so these people who are feeling grateful, not happy, not good, but grateful or compassionate or proud, they require double the amount. It doubles their willpower. They require over $30 to give in. And what that suggests, right, it's kind of like the marshmallow test for adults. People know Walter Mischel's marshmallow test. It increases your patience. And what we find and others find is that the more often you feel grateful or compassion, gratitude or compassion in life, it's tied to better academic performance, better exercise, eating healthily, not giving into junk food, lower levels of consumerism, impulsivity, and addictive behaviors. And they're kind of like a booster shot, right? These emotions make us willing to sacrifice in the moment to forestall an immediate pleasure for some future gain.
You made reference to the marshmallow test. I'm not sure everybody would know that. So explain what that is, because you described a sort of updated version of the marshmallow
exactly.
test, right?
So this is a famous set of studies, and justifiably so, done by a psychologist named Walter Mischel in the 1970s. And he would bring children in, and he would put down a marshmallow or other sweet in front of one and say, okay, you can eat this now, but I've got to go do something. If you wait 15 minutes till I get back, you can have a second. And then he watched what happened. And what you can see is some kids gobble it up and some kids can wait. And what he tied this to over time is the kids who had better self-control were able over time to have better academic performance, better financial performance as adults, all good things. And since that time, Angela Duckworth has tied grit to similar outcomes. We did the same experiment, but with cash, because most adults like cash more than marshmallows. And what we found is if you make people feel grateful, and other people have done it with pride, their patience increases. And it's not because they have more willpower. It's because they discount the value of the future less, or they value it more. And it becomes easier to persevere toward. It's less stressful. It takes less of a toll on your body and on your well-being.
Interesting. What are the sort of evolutionary underpinnings of this thinking? I mean, why? I mean, you sort of know intuitively that it's good to be patient, it's good to save for the future, yeah. But is there a real sort of evolutionary logic to this?
Yeah, there is, and you're raising an important point. I mean, if you think about it, the goals we have today to max out our 401k or to complete the whole 30 didn't matter much for most of our evolutionary history. They didn't even exist, right? For millennia, what mattered was the ability to form strong cooperative relationships, people that you could count on and would count on you. To do that, you had to be a moral person. You had to be generous. You had to be compassionate and show empathy. You had to be honest. You basically had to have a good character. That's where self-control came from originally. And these are the emotions that underlie those behaviors. And so now, by feeling these emotions, yes, they make us willing to sacrifice other people by making us value the future more than the present, but they also make us willing to sacrifice for our own individual goals, things that in modern life are more tied to success. But because they're socially based, they also solve another big problem. One of the big plagues of modern life now is loneliness. If you look at the stats, you know, the number of people who say that they have at least one friend they can rely on dropped dramatically from, 80% in 1985 to 57% today. 53% of people today report that they're lonely at work. What these emotions do is they, by making us behave in ways that show care and sacrifice for others, they draw others to us. They kind of solve that dichotomy that David Brooks talks about between resume virtues, those virtues that are related to maximizing your career outcomes, and eulogy ones, those that you want to be remembered for. And so what they do is build a social network for you that will help you when you do fall. At the same time, they're helping you have more perseverance and grit.
So it's a simple idea. I mean, if you're someone who exudes gratitude, if you're compassionate with other people, people are going to be drawn to you. I mean, that's sort of the message.
They will be drawn to you, but at the same time, they are a booster shot for your own self-control.
Interesting. Yeah. It's funny because it sort of runs counter to, when you think of some examples of what it means or what it takes to be successful at work, it's this idea of being tough and sort of damn the torpedoes, move forward. Yeah. But this is sort of advocating another approach.
It is advocating another approach. And I think the problem is the approach we're taking for success in modern life is kind of exactly what you're saying. And it can lead people to kind of an atomistic, isolated existence. It's nose to the grindstone. I'm not caring about anybody else. And that takes a toll over time. There's work by a psychologist at Northwestern, Greg Miller, who looked at kids from disadvantaged backgrounds who had higher self-control and were performing better. Yes, they performed better, but exerting that level of self-control took a toll on their health. Over time, it hurt their immunity and other things. Whereas, because you're always in a struggle, you're trying to repress a desire.
And self-denial, right?
Yeah. But feeling these emotions, having compassion for yourself, working hard, yes, taking pride in your own abilities, having gratitude, they're tied to lower blood pressure, to better immunity. They're kind of a balm to the body, whereas, the stress of arguing with yourself and criticizing yourself is the opposite.
So how do we practice? I mean, what's the best way to sort of practice these social emotions like gratitude and compassion?
There are a few different ways. For gratitude, one thing that I recommend is simply doing a gratitude diary or a gratitude journal. The trick to that is, we all have the two or three things that we're immensely grateful for in life. If you think about those same things every day, they're going to lose their power. So rather, what we found that works is simply think about things from your day. Did somebody let you in on the expressway? Did somebody stop and help you and give you directions? Did somebody hold the door for you? Those little things work just as well. For compassion, it's trying to put yourselves in other people's shoes and have empathy for them. It's also showing yourself compassion. And we've also found in other work we do is mindfulness and meditation practice is very powerful in increasing compassion. And pride, it's celebrating your own baby steps, your victories along the way, as opposed to just waiting for the end. Those types of things on a daily basis will just reinforce your ability to persevere and do it in a way that feels comfortable and energizing as opposed to critical and draining.
You have a new book coming out next week, Emotional Success, The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. And if I understand, I haven't read it. I've read a little bit about it. You talk about how these emotions can affect not just an individual, but society as a whole, right?
Yeah. So at the end, I do. I mean, the problem of valuing the future more than the present is a problem that America is not doing very well at. I mean, we have a budget deficit that's out of control. We have crumbling infrastructure and lots of other problems. And what all these stem from is a refusal to do what's necessary in the moment, to sacrifice in the moment for the long term. You know, most of Congress wants to operate on the idea of not in my own fiscal term. Yes, doing these things is good, but if I do it right now, I'm going to suffer with the voters. But what we see is that, you know, I'll give you one example. You know, countries like Denmark that teach compassion and empathy as part of their early curriculum in terms of education early on, show a greater willingness to accept sacrifices in the moment in terms of accepting energy costs to have cleaner energy, et cetera, and infrastructure than we do in the United States. And it's hard to draw a one-to-one comparison there, but given the work we're looking at in the lab that show us that people are willing to make these sacrifices, I think fostering these emotions at a societal level will not only give us a more peaceful and ethical existence here, but will also, I think, help our policies be more future-oriented.
All right. Well, these are great words to hear, great ideas to consider as we kick off 2018. David DeStenno is a professor of psychology at Northeastern University. His new book is Emotional Success, The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.